League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Pain Free Friday, Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, a broken date, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Palatia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny lost both of her glasses today when she went out to party. I think it was because she was snapping tubes at a hybrid Leroy TK Serene in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, with a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be shaking, ooh. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight. Toll free, the number to get on the bench, 844-843-6879 to get waxed up. We want to hear from you. A lot happening. All right, so right out of the gates, we know that the Hawks beat the Knicks 105-94 in Hot Town, and they're up 2-1 in the series. And obviously, Trae Young does it again. First home playoff game of his career. He had 21, 14 dimes. And once again, the Hawks shut down Randall. He shot 2 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 7 from downtown, and he had 11 boards. He had a double-double, 14 and 11, which would be a big game for most people, but for him, it's a terrible game. I mean, bottom line, this guy averaged, you know, let's face facts. In the regular season, he was averaging 24, 10, and 6, and, you know, he's 10 off his average. And, I mean, I won't deny he's trying. I won't deny he's working. I won't deny that he's, you know, banging the boards and doing everything. He's got a lot on his plate, a lot of responsibility in that offense of theirs, which I think struggles, obviously. They're certainly struggling against the Hawks, the offense, and they rely heavily on the three ball. They rely heavily on their defense, and they're getting shut down. Bullock had 11. It was 2 of 6 from downtown. Rose had a great game. He had 30. Rose had three threes. He was 13 of 21 from the floor. But the bottom line is, it didn't matter. Nobody else did jack. I guess Noel gave you 12 and 8. That was solid. But Barrett, how about Barrett? 2 of 9 from the floor, 7 points, 1 of 5 from downtown. RJ Barrett was atrocious. And then Collins, 14, Hunter, 11, Capella, 13 and 12, the double-double. And then Bogdanovich, 15, 8 and 3, including three threes. Gallinari had 12, including perfect 4 for 4 from 3. And he had 4 boards and a dime. He was perfect from downtown. All of his points right there hitting threes. So 10 from Herter, 3 of 4 from downtown. They shot like 59% from downtown, 16 of 27. Meanwhile, the Knicks were 30%, 9 of 30 from downtown, 29 of 81, 35% from the floor. I mean, the Knicks offense, they suck. They can't shoot the ball. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? And Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio all over the globe. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pain-Free Friday for all on a bench with Mafia tonight. And so look, they can't shoot. They can't win. It's that simple. If they're not knocking down shots, you cannot shoot 29 of 81 and win anything. I don't care if it's a playoff game, a regular season, or a preseason, or a summer league game. You shoot that bad, you lose. And their three-point shooting was terrible, too. The Mafia is all up in arms about Trae Young. What are you mad about him? Because he's talking smack and he's being cocky?
Yeah, I mean, he's had incredible games. You know, it's nothing to do with, you know, that he's beating the Knicks. I'm fine with that. They're winning. They're playing their ass off, and the Knicks are not doing their thing. Randle and Barrett, like you said, their two best players, are playing like crap, and Derrick Rose having to step up and do too much. So all the power to him that they've won these two games. But that's all you've done in your damn career. We talked about it, you know, when you and I were together the other day, where he was talking about how he's, you know, the history, the villainy, the people, you know, to come to the Garden, he welcomes it, he's all for it. It's like, you won one game at that point, you won two games now. You're not doing anything the Hawks have never done before. When they had, you know, Al Horford, Joe Johnson, they were in that 4-5 hole for years and then would falter in the playoffs. You know, they got a nice first round and then would get stomped. You're beating a team in the Knicks who is on your level. You better stop talking, because then when you go play Philadelphia and they smoke you and sweep you in four games, how is that talking going to look?
Yeah, I think you're right. But the guy's had monster games. So, like, he's had monster games. I mean, he literally, even in the second game that they lost, he had 30.
He's going off. Curry in the middle of three or four of titles, not two wins in the playoffs for the first time ever.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think he's cocky as hell. But when you back it up, I mean, it's that simple. I mean, he's dropping 21 and 14 tonight. That's, you know, a massive double-double with 14 dimes. He carried his team. The guy's going off.
It has come to our attention that some of you are guilty of superstition. Dude, trust us. Winning after an XL pepperoni pie before every game is just a coincidence. Take a breath.
And maybe a diabetes test.
We're your home for the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so for relevant events, I want to tell you a story. So we're going to have Scott Kaplan on from 1090 in a few minutes, and that'll be cool. But before then, like, so Granny's just a mess today. So Kathy O, who's just a trip to begin with, right? So this lady's been through hell and back. I mean, Mafia knows it's true. Like, so what happened was one thing led to another. She got COVID pneumonia. She was in a hospital for 4 months. I mean, they told us three times she was dead. Like, three times they told us to, you know, it's over. She's not going to make it. She was in ICU, the whole deal. And they told us multiple times that get your things in order. And sure enough, she survives. And she lives through it somehow. I can't even explain it. I'm like, she's on death's doorstep. She got tubes shoved down her throat. The next thing you know, she's sitting in my house. So she's in the Varela Palatial. You hear me tell this, you know, jokes all the time about her snapping tubes and stuff. And so one thing leads to another. She's been really sick. She got out of the hospital like a while ago. She's like an invalid. She can't do anything. She couldn't walk. She couldn't go upstairs. Diapers, the whole deal. It's very sad. It's brutal. It's brutal. She's, you know, old, very old. Let's not get into ages here, but I'm talking up there. And I'm up there. So this is my wife's mother, who's, imagine, you know, if you're my age, 56 in July, you can figure out how old my mother-in-law is. Okay. You're talking up there. So one thing leads to another, and she barely does anything. She starts this comeback trail. It's pretty cool. She starts battling. I mean, she's doing everything. She's from Belfast, bro. Like, this woman grew up with the IRA, people blowing up things, you know, people blowing up people, houses, churches. They don't care. They'll blow everything up. I mean, you don't mess with the IRA, just so you know. That's just official. Like, we're just going to get that out of there. I mean, they're up there with the KGB and stuff, right, Mafia? I mean, the IRA is like no joke. So she grew up in violence her whole life, just warfare, just raw warfare. So she's a tough bee, right? This is a tough bee. And Mafia's partied with her. She's gone with us on road trips to Vegas. She's gone to Palm Springs. She's gone everywhere. California to Indio to, I mean, she's done it all. And she drinks like a fish. She'll party. She'll do anything. She tried to sleep with like 30-year-old dudes that I was with. She's like, let's go, Sonny. And I mean, she means business. So one thing leads to another, and she's on this comeback trail, and she's fought, like she had a walker and everything, and she couldn't walk, so she had a walker and a whole deal. And then she got rid of the walker. Now she's walking. She couldn't climb stairs. Now she's climbing stairs. So she's making a comeback. She's got like nurses that come over, and they check her vitals, and then she has a PT person that comes over like 3 days a week and does physical therapy with her. She's walking around the street and going up and down stairs. She's doing everything. She's trying to get, you know, comeback trail. So one thing leads to another. And I mean, there's all kinds of issues with age and mind and the whole deal. It's all happening. It's all evolving around us. And then today she went out to party with her brother and his son and her niece and all these people at her condo. She has like a really nice condo, and she goes there periodically to, you know, get the mail and stuff. But she can't live there because she has to be watched. There's no leaving her alone because anything could happen. She has to sit on chairs in the shower, the whole deal. And then one thing leads to another. So today she goes out and parties all day. She's gone from like 11 a.m. until like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. She comes rolling in with her, the whole family. They bring her in. I got the uncle here, the nephew, the niece. They're all at my house. I'm like, Jesus, what's happening here? What is happening here? I'm trying to watch like games, and I got all these people in my house. My kids are here. My daughter's got like 10 kids watching movies. My son's out trying to get laid. I mean, it's all happening. It's all happening around me. I can't even control it. And then she comes in here and says, and just 2 days ago, we took her and got her new hearing aids and new glasses, right? So she got distance glasses, and she got reading glasses, and she got ear hearing aids. So she didn't have hearing aids the entire time she was living here for like a month. And I mean, when this woman watches TV, you would think she was in an IMAX theater, like at my house. I mean, it is cranked so effing loud that like literally the windows in my house shake. I mean, it is so loud, the TV, that like you can't even think straight. It's so loud, right? So I'm like, there's got to be something wrong with her. Like, I was like, who has the TV that loud? It's going to, the whole thing's going to blow up. It's going to catch on fire. So we take her to get her ears checked or something. And next thing you know, she gets hearing aids. Boom, problem solved. So now she can hear everything. And the TV's on normal level. And she can hear it perfect. Everything's solved. So she gets the glasses. They're like a grand to have the distance, and then the ones are reading glasses. And one of them's like some high fashion glasses that 34C got her, some really Gucci like frames. So they were like a grand. She got them 2 days ago. She went out today to party, and she lost both of them. I mean, to tell you, like, she came home, she couldn't see, she can't read, she can't watch TV. She lost them. And I mean to tell you, all hell broke loose looking for those glasses. I mean, everyone. I mean, the whole county. People were looking everywhere in New York City, everywhere. They were looking at on the street where the car was, where the in the car, near the front door at a condo, at the restaurant, in the condo, everywhere. And then 34C left like a while ago, and just driving rain, Mafia. It's just like a monsoon outside. It is just pouring. I mean, we could lose the show at any minute. I mean, we could lose power any minute. It is literally gushing outside. Like, I mean, Noah's Ark. And 34C went out in it to try to find these two pairs of glasses. I'm like, you can't even see outside. I'm like, well, you're not going to find two pairs of glasses in New York City. You're not going to find them. It's over. They're gone. She's bound and determined. She's like, screw you. I'm going. I'm like, yeah, say hi to your boyfriend for me, because I know she never finding them glasses. She's not finding them. Now, if she goes in the condo and they're in the condo, that's another story. But she thinks she's going to find them on the street, like wherever the car was or where they pulled up, where they dropped her off, at the restaurant, all the parking lots, all this other. And I'm like, so now I got this chick upstairs and she can't see or read. That's all she does is see and read. All she does is watch TV and read. That's it. That's her whole existence. She has nothing else going on. She can't even barely make it to the bathroom, or let alone like anything else. She reads. This chick reads 15 books a week, and she reads newspapers by the dozens. She reads the Irish News, the New York Times, the Daily News, the Post, the Wall Street Journal. She reads everything. Then she'll read like 5 books a week. I mean, she's always reading. Now she can't read anything because she can't see. So, and then what is it? At Memorial Weekend, right? Who's going to be open to do the glasses besides no one, Mafia? And you know her, like, so you know, and if you question her, you're like, what'd you do with the glasses? She's like, F you. She's like, I'm like, you've done it now. And I went, you've done it now. Like, what happened? And she's like, F you. Get out of my face. I was like, listen, granny, chill out. She goes, F you. She's like, I'm like, all right, blame me then. She's like, you're a piece of shack. I'm like, I didn't lose the glasses, but I'm like, I'm trying to solve it. I'm like, what can I do to help you? She's like, get out of here. That's what you can do to help me. Get away from me. I was like, so she hates me. 34C hates me. The kids hate me. Everybody, the dog hates me. Everyone's, well, the dog still likes me. I have the dog at least, and he smells like cable. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, for all in advance on a pain-free Friday, we're going to go out to San Diego now and hook up with Scott Kaplan. He's the king of 1090 in San Diego and, of course, ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. He does 2 great shows a day, both in afternoon drive, believe it or not. And he does I know for a fact he does the San Diego show on TV as well, both on YouTube and on local cable in Southern California. So it's all like kick ass. I mean, the content that they're putting out on his shows are just phenomenal. Anyway, we wanted to talk to him about everything going on in, Southern California, since he's so up on everything and there's so much going on with those teams out there. Scotty, how you doing, bro?
Scott Farrell, dude. I'm driving down the road 2 days ago. Actually, no, it was yesterday. I listened on the radio yesterday, and you were going off about Oakland. And, dude, I was dying laughing, man. You were like, dude, I live there. I know Oakland. I know what's going on up there. I know why no teams stay there. I was dying laughing, man.
But you know that's true, right? Like, I mean, honestly, like, what do you think? What do you think of Oakland?
Dude, you're 1,000% right. Every time I go to broadcast a Raiders game in Oakland, this is before they moved to Vegas, we stayed in San Francisco. Yeah, you know? Like we went to Oakland for the game. You know, we stayed in San Francisco. So,
that's right.
I mean, that tells you what you need to know.
I mean, it really is. It's, it's kind of, you know, it's funny because over the years, people have told me that it's changed and that it's hip there in East Bay and it's cool there now. And I'm like, you're tripping. I don't know what you're talking about. It's hell on earth is what it is. It's hell on earth. And that's where, I mean, it is. It's where all the crime happens, everything, all the murders, all the drugs, all the, you know, violence, cops, you name it. It's all bad there. Everybody knows it. No one ever wants to admit it. And it's like so funny. The Raiders ran out of there. The, basketball team ran to San Francisco finally, and they still pretend like they're in Oakland. And then I think the A's want to get out of there too. I think they want their new stadium by the water, but I'm not sure they're going to get it. And if I were them, if you were them, Scott, would you go to Vegas like the Raiders did?
See, that's what I think is going to happen, because you can't get anything done in the state of California when it comes to public money for a private stadium. Just can't get it done. No one's going to vote for that. That's why the Rams moved here and they built their own stadium. They didn't expect anybody else to build their stadium for them. So the A's aren't going to get a stadium built, because Oakland has already said, we don't build stadiums. So the Raiders can take off. And so with the NHL and the NFL already in Vegas, and, you know, I'm surprised the NBA wasn't the first one there, since they kind of owned it previous. I think Vegas is the most likely spot for the A's eventually.
I think all four will be there within by the end of the decade. I think all four leagues will be there. They already got two. And, I mean, obviously, they got the WNBA's there already, the summer league's there. I can't – you're right, Scott. Like, I'm shocked that they weren't first. I mean, for years I've been going to – Vegas and seeing like games. I mean, they used to always have NBA games there and you know, preseason and NHL preseason games there all the time. And eventually they got the Knights, and that's exploded and become the hottest ticket in town. And the Raiders are going to be gigantic. Their first year, the COVID ruined it, but this year it's going to be enormous. I want to ask you though about SoFi. Like that's going to be — this year is going to be a huge year for that stadium, any way you slice it, because the Super Bowl is there. And I think also because Stafford's going to be playing there, and the expectations are through the roof. And, I mean, anybody knows what's going to happen. It's just going to be huge out there. I think that's going to be huge anyway. You tell me, you're in L.A. all the time doing shows. You're the guy that knows Southern California the most. I would think that's going to be a cash cow, that stadium, starting this year, like in the biggest way possible, because last year nobody could go because of the COVID.
Right. So that's right. This stadium was delayed by a year because of weather, and then it's delayed by a second year due to COVID. So by the time the NFL season kicks off, everybody is going to want to get into that stadium. Because if you've ever been to Dallas and to Jerry World, this is the next generation, the next iteration of Jerry World. This is, you know, Stan Kroenke, who, you know, is a multi-billionaire, pulled into town and said, I want to build a massive stadium where a horse racing track used to be. It used to be called Hollywood Park. And they tore it down, and they built the newest, greatest super stadium in the NFL. And, you know, Scott, it's interesting you say that, because the Rams fans are going to eat it up. The Charger fans, which is a significantly smaller fan base — it's kind of like the Lakers versus the Clippers — but I think Charger fans will go. And if, you know, Charger games in years past in L.A. are any indication, what's going to happen is there'll be 25 or 30,000 Charger fans in that stadium, and there'll be 45 and 50,000 Vikings fans, or Colts fans, or Texans fans. I mean, this Steelers. Is going to be a destination. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Steeler fans take over the place. Forget about it, man. You know, right. So I think the thing is that your point is right on. It's not going to be 70,000 Rams fans or 70,000 Charger fans. It's likely going to be half home team and half away team, because a lot of people are going to want to come visit that stadium.
So, you know, what's weird is, you know, we've been to, I've been to Jerry's World, and so has Mafia, and we've done shows there. We've done fights there, boxing. You know, we saw Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence fight there. There's been a million great fights there. Jerry knows how to get it on. That place, like when I went there for the first time, I got to tell you, it was like a spaceship to me. I mean, it was literally like, it was like going to Mars. I was like, what is happening here? This is the greatest stadium I've ever been in. And then I was like, everything about it was awesome. I got popcorn in like a Jerry's World popcorn bowl. I still have them in my kitchen upstairs. And I don't like go home from the game with the, you know, the, the team mug, and I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that has to have the drink. You know, I leave the stadium with my drinks. I'm not that guy. But when I get the popcorn bowl that looks like the stadium, and it's Jerry's World, I brought it home. I brought two of them home. I'm like, and Mavi is like, you're embarrassing. And I'm like, I'll tell you what, I still use them to this day. So who's laughing now? But my point is that, you're right in that Kroenke built one bigger and better than in that place. And then he built that because he knew that was going to make him the richest team in the NFL, which they already were. And now they're just cruising away from everyone else. I've always believed Vegas would pass them with the new stadium in Vegas, the Allegiant. But I think at the end of the day, the race will be between the Raiders and the Rams and Chargers, because that SoFi Stadium is just going to be an absolute Federal Reserve.
Yeah, I agree. I do. And you know what? It's going to serve exactly the way they wanted it, because not only is it going to house NFL football every week during the NFL football season, because when the Rams are on the road, the Chargers will theoretically be at home. But listen, it's not just that. It's every event that's going to go in there. It is the Super Bowl. It will be Final Fours eventually. Scotty, eventually it's going to also be the Olympics. So that building is going to house a lot of really big sporting events, starting with the NFL kickoff of the season, the Super Bowl, and whatever else is going to wind up coming there. But, you know, it really is an incredible stadium, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it sounds like. You know, to see what it looks like is one thing, but what does it sound like? Because the stadiums that guys like you and me and Mafia go to in Buffalo and in Pittsburgh, those are outdoor stadiums where fans really got to work to make it sound the right way. In Seattle, there's nothing like it. You know, what kind of crowd will come to these kinds of games? Because it's going to be expensive, too.
Yeah, I'll bet. I want to ask you lastly before we break, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk about the Lakers and the Clippers and the Padres and the Dodgers. But I want to ask you this. So if the, I know you guys at some level still hate the Chargers. You and I've had this conversation before about why they left. You taught me everything I need to know about why they left, about what happened. And, you know, they're gone. It seems like, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say my piece here. And then when we come back, I want you to give me my answer, because I don't have enough time to get an answer from you before the break. So let me say this, is that my thinking is, because I think Herbert's a badass. Like, I think the guy's a badass. And I think he's going to do big things with the Chargers, whether people like it or not in San Diego. I know they hate him, maybe. I know they blame him, maybe. Who knows? All I know is they're there. They're playing in SoFi, whether you like it or not. They don't have the fan base as the Rams. That's irrelevant to me, because this guy's a badass. He could care less who goes to the games. When he's slinging, that guy is a freak. So I want to know, what's it going to be like for San Diegans to watch this guy for the next 10, 12 years tear it up in Lipstick City in that fancy stadium? And I think he's going to do big things. I think he's going to take them to the playoffs. I think he might take them to a Super Bowl. I mean, we all know how good he is. I mean, you talk about Josh Allen, you could say the same thing about Herbert. He's just been incredible. When we come back, we'll get Scott Kaplan's answer on that and hit all those teams in LA and the Padres on a bench.
Winning isn't a mystery. It's remaking the odds in your favor by developing a strategy through deftly applied expert information and insights. Where do you get this information?
Right here.
Well, duh. Get the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So Vegas is up 4-2 on the Wild in Game 7 with, like, I think, 5 minutes left in the second. And then Pat Chiaretti's playing again. He scored. I saw him score. And then right now, 105-97, Celts on the Nets. And that's with 6:51 left in the game. And then the Mavs are trailing the Clippers now, 53-50 with 4.5 left in the second in Dallas. So we're talking to Scott Kalvin, the great host of 1090 and ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. So answer this. You heard me talk about Herbert. And now I know there's people, there's got to be fans that are savage about them leaving. There just got to be people that can't stand the fact that they left and that they may want nothing to do with them ever again. And they root against them now because they left. Who knows? You tell me, because I love when you give me these straight up, tell it like it is answers about these problems in San Diego. And they're gone, but here they are with this badass quarterback playing in L.A. up the street, and he's playing at that SoFi, and you know he's going to rock it. You just know it. I don't care what the rest of the team's doing. That guy's a stud. What's that doing to the remaining San Diegans that either love or hate that team? Did we lose Scott? Is that what happened here?
No, I'm here.
All right, there you go. Go ahead. I got you, Scotty. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't know about you, man, but there are times when I'm on Zoom calls or phone calls and I push mute and forget to not push mute. That was me. That was all on me.
That's all right. I didn't know. I thought we lost you.
No, that was my fault. To your point, right, though, Scott, you're right. Justin Herbert is a stud. You come into the NFL, you're the rookie of the year. You light the league up on a team that can't win, the team that's going to fire its coach. You've got something. They have an exceptional talent at quarterback. That's true. Will his career be greater than that of, say, another terrific Charger quarterback who has Hall of Fame credentials, perhaps, in some people's eyes? Phillip Rivers. Think about that. Phillip Rivers had this spectacular career for the Chargers, put up Hall of Fame caliber statistics, and never won anything. Played in one AFC championship game in New England, and on that day, when the Charger running back at the time took the ball and was trying to get into the end zone, the undefeated Patriots had a linebacker that some people may remember, a guy by the name of Junior Seau, who was the greatest Charger perhaps ever, made that tackle for New England against the Chargers. My point is this. Phillip Rivers was great every year he played. He never got hurt. He was available every Sunday. He threw for 4,000 yards every year. But he never really sniffed a championship. So I look at a team like the Clippers, and they can go out and spend a whole bunch of money, and they can get a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who's a two-time finals MVP, a multi-time champion, and a guy who is maybe the most coveted free agent on the market at the time. But you know what? The Clippers are down 0-2 right now to Dallas, and they're in Dallas. And they haven't made it to the Western Conference Finals. And they got beat in the bubble last year when they were up 3-1. In my opinion, there are certain teams and certain franchises that just find ways to lose. I put the Clippers and the Chargers in the same category. So, yes, Scott Farrell, I'm a very bitter former San Diego Charger fan.
I love it. I love it. So do they like actually root against them now? Are there,
yes,
are there people that just literally want nothing but bad to happen to them because they left? I mean,
yes.
I would be livid.
Yes.
I would be livid. I would be livid if I lived there, because I love, you know, I love it there. I love the Padres. I love San Diego. I actually, you know, I've been to everything there. I'm coming out again in July. I'm always there. I love it. But if I lived there and I was a San Diegan and I was golfing 5 days a week and, let's say, doing a radio show, whatever, chilling, I would be so mad at that franchise and those and that family. I mean, I'd be Satan toward them. I'd hate them dead. Are there people that are actually rooting against them?
Yes, 100%. We literally root for every team other than the Chargers every week, no matter who they're playing. It could be Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Dallas. It could be Indianapolis, Houston. Every week we root for them to lose, and they bring us so much pleasure when they do. I'll tell you something else they do. You know that right now, this is an under the radar story, but this is totally true, Scott Farrell. You ready for this? The owner of the team, who was gifted the team by his father after his father died, his sister is suing him.
Right.
This is all public stuff, because she wants the team to be sold so that the family can get out of debt. Everybody can take their cash and go their separate ways. And that's what the sister wants, and it's all playing itself out publicly. So you have Hollywood, billionaires, National Football League. You have all the makings of a great, sexy story, and it's all going to play out for public consumption. Talk about humiliation. These guys haven't done anything right until they drafted this quarterback, and I feel for this kid because I think he's going to have a Hall of Fame caliber career and never sniff a championship.
So when you tell me that story about her, I think when you were on the TV show, you told me when that was when it started, right? That was the week. That was the week of the story breaking. You were on my show, and right. You told me about this girl, and the Spanos girl. And then I went on with it after you were on, and I talked to I don't remember Mafia, but there was somebody I had on. Maybe it was Kaplan. I don't know if it was Kaplan. Maybe it was Haro talking about the business end of it, the NFL, and, you know, these, you know, legal battles, because he's the lawyer. He's built all those stadiums in the NFL. So I asked him about it, and I said, are they actually going to sell the Chargers? Is this story going to turn into them selling the team? And I think both of them told me no. They both said it wasn't going to happen, that they weren't going to sell the Chargers, that there's too much money to be made. There's too much money to be made in Los Angeles for the franchise moving forward into this decade and into the future with what the possibilities are fiscally moving forward. They both told me that it wouldn't happen. So we'll see what happens. I want to speed it up here, though, and ask you some questions about the Lakers. They took a hold of that series last night. I think, and you're always talking Lakers on ESPN, so last night they got a hold of it, and I think with Chris Paul's problems, that's pretty obvious. I think that would be the end of the leak in the ship, that you lose that great point guard to his capabilities, because he's playing, it looked to me, about 60%. You take away his 100% game of true point brilliance and what he did for the Suns this year, with that guy not being right, I think they're doomed against the Lakers.
Totally agreed. I mean, listen, with Chris Paul, the Suns had a great season. They won 51 games. They got to the number two seed. Wherever Chris Paul goes, he leads teams to the playoffs. And generally, he winds up getting hurt in the postseason and never really accomplishes much. Listen, there was a point last night where LeBron is just playing with him, just leaning back on him, pushing on him. And you know, and I'm not talking about Chris Paul. I'm just talking about just leaning on the whole Suns team, just using the size of the Lakers, AD, Drummond, even Gasol off the bench is so much bigger. The height advantage, the weight advantage, the strength advantage. The only chance that Phoenix really had was that Chris Paul and Devin Booker together were going to be able to score. And when you score 7 points when you're Chris Paul, you're not going to beat LeBron James, especially as LeBron is starting to get healthier, Scott. But listen, at one point in this game, the Lakers took a 21-point lead. And not only was the game over, and this is about 10 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, not only was the game over, the series was over. If Chris Paul can't be 100% and Chris Paul can't score 25 points in a game, they got no chance. And the Lakers are just getting stronger. They're getting better. Their chemistry, their camaraderie. I'm telling you, you watch these guys on the bench, they look like they were in the Final Four the way they were all jumping up and down, like a college team. They look like they're finally having fun. The swag is back for the Lakers right now. And, you know, you just look around the rest of the West. You know, who do you really, really fear out there? Utah? No. Phoenix? No. Clippers in Dallas? Portland? Denver? So, I mean, as long as LeBron is healthy, the Lakers have a legit shot to win another title.
God. Oh, my God. It's just my stomach's turning. Just listening to it. I mean, honestly, I'm getting agita. So let me ask you. I want to go to the Padres because I think the Clippers suck. So I'm not even going to go there. They're right now, they're in a 57 all game. There's two two quarters left. They're going to play the third and fourth. We'll see if they lose another game. If they lose tonight, they're done. So they better win that game tonight or they're dead. First of all, the fact that they sat there for 3 days saying that they weren't worried about being down 0-2 is the biggest load of shack I've ever heard in my life. They're just absolutely lying through their teeth. Paul George talking about not being worried is hilarious since he's never done anything in his life in the postseason. So he's tripping. So let me ask you about the Padres. That gives me full wood watching them go to first place, and I'm just completely erotic on the Padres. The 9-game homestand made me it was honestly like porno. And then the way they're playing, the way Tatis has played with his injuries and still comes up 4-for-4 with a home run the night he came back. I mean, it's surreal to me what they're doing. And then the Dodgers are kicking the Giants' ass. So you know what's going to happen in August and September. This is going to be about the Padres and Dodgers.
This is the most fun baseball race that I can ever remember being involved with in late May. In other words, I'm scoreboard watching every day the Dodgers right. and the Padres. I'm surprised that the Giants made this a three-horse race, but I figure that the way that the Dodgers swept the Giants in San Francisco last week, and they beat them last night in L.A., and they're only going to get better because now Cody Bellinger, their center fielder, is finally coming back after missing about 30-plus games. So I think the Dodgers are going to wind up getting themselves better because then in July you're going to have their MVP of the World Series, Corey Seager, come back, the shortstop who they're out. So right. the Padres have done a great job of taking first place, particularly while the Dodgers were really down. There was a 20-game stretch. The Dodgers went 5 wins, 15 losses. Since then, they've stormed back, and they've gone 9-1. So the Padres maintained their winning while Tatis and Hosmer and several others were out with COVID. So it's been an amazing race, and we're not even in June yet. Now, the Dodger fans are saying it's so early, nothing to worry about. We'll be there at the end. And the Padre fans are saying, we got to just keep on winning because we want to maintain this lead. Dodger fans do not take the Padres seriously. Padre fans desperately want to take down the Dodgers.
Yeah, they should. They should be worried about the Padres because the Padres are for real. They're down right now to the Astros 2-1 in the seventh. That's not going to be an easy series in H-Town because the Astros are tough. Giants and Dodgers are 1-1 in the third in Chavez Ravine. Scotty, you're a badass. Love you. You're awesome. I always love having you on the shows. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Keep kicking ass and taking names on 1090 and on 710 in L.A. I love you, bro. Thanks so much.
Dude, love you too. I hope to see you in San Diego in July. Mafia, peace out, brother.
Your boy Kaplan getting involved on events. Thanks. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, so the Celtics are up 7 with 2:18 left, and Tatum's getting every call in the world. Every time he dribbles the ball, he gets a call. So there's no way they're not winning this game when you get the whistle. Every single time he touched the ball, they call a foul. And so he's going to the line. And this guy's got 46 points in this game, a career high in the playoffs. And it's pretty simple. Now 47. He's money. And, I'm telling you that you cannot go on the road in an NBA playoff game and allow 47 points to anybody. 48 now, he hits both free throws, so it's a 9-point lead with 2:15 left and rolling. Great having Scott Kaplan on. I always love that dude. He's awesome. Does great shows. He's always cool, and he comes on willingly every time and just goes off on everything. I love it. So I enjoyed talking to Scott, and I'm telling you, that Padre Dodger race is going to be phenomenal. I'm going to the game on the 29th of July. I literally bought a row of seats. I mean, I have like 15 people going. It's out of control. Hookers, drug dealers, stromboli makers, everyone's going, ice cream vendors. They're all going with me to the game. Lawyers, doctors. Did I mention prostitutes? Wait, are we on the air? Check 1, 2. 7-point game again with 2 left. I'm very confused if the Miracle Nets can pull it off with a couple of 3 daggers, if they can get back in it. I mean, I've seen Harden hit one. I need your boy KD to hit one. I need somebody to stop Tatum from having another bucket. My God, we got another hour to go on a bench.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.